Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another in the series of the Community of Faith broadcast called Read the Word. Read the Word, Read the Word, Read the Word. This is one of the greatest YouTube video teaching Bible reading programs you'll ever find. You know, I've heard people make statements like that. You're like, yeah, right. But you know, when God's blessing something, he's blessing it. And it's not because I'm doing anything big and amazing. I'm just reading the Bible. But the revelation that's coming from it is absolutely amazing. And we're glad you're here. So let's give you a few thoughts about it. First thing right up front, number one, make sure you connect to our Blog Talk Radio channel called Read the Word. Make sure you connect to the YouTube playlist that's called Read the Word. It's a playlist. And you know, I was telling you last time that I'm probably going to divide it up in months to make it a little easier. That means you'll need to get connected to the our webpage, because there you'll be able to click on January or February or March, and we'll put the references in there, and God will help us put it all out there. We want to make it very simple for you. And I encourage you, if you're going to be on a vacation somewhere and you're going to be on the road listening, you need something to listen to, do this, read the word, because this is powerful, what God says. Now, let me say this about this. Two things. Number one, I really want you to be connected to the Blog Talk Radio channel and to YouTube, because no matter what happens with the people who are in charge of these things, we want you to be connected. Number two, in this day and age when so many people, preachers, leaders of churches, coaches, church coaches, and lead pastor, whatever they call them, that are teaching, there's no way you're ever going to be righteous. And just live your best for him. We just read the Old Testament. No way God is okay with sin in any way. It's just, you cannot read the Old Testament and come away with that understanding. Now, you can read four or five verses in the Old Testament and say, oh, he don't, you know, it's no big deal to God. No, it is a big deal to God. It is a big deal to God. And that's the benefit, not that one thought that I'm giving you. The benefit is, as you hear us read it out loud, under the anointing of a pastoral ministry, I'm telling you, it totally takes on a completely different point of view. And it's very encouraging. It's very enlightening. It's very inspiring. It's very uplifting. And there's a whole lot of revelation that's in it. And now we're entering into the New Testament, and goodness sakes alive, it's going to be amazing, because our whole program will be one day of reading all the story of the parable of the sower. And that's what the whole day will be. And then you'll have one miracle, and the whole day will be that from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this is going to be an amazing, amazing study through the New Testament. And it's not even really a study. It's just a reading. But it's under the anointing of a pastoral ministry, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And don't miss it. Just don't miss it. All right. Now, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, help me to get my opening prayer where everybody can read it. And bless this time together. We receive from you today in Jesus' mighty name.
In
Jesus' mighty name. Now, as we enter in, and we don't have a lot to read today, I want to read a few verses from the Old Testament about Jesus so we can hear what the prophets were saying. Of course, we've already read these, but not focused. And it's like right now we're learning about Jesus' birth. Today, the wise men will come to him. So he's 2 years old when we start. All right. So let's read these verses first. Just to put a balance on this. You ready? Isaiah 57:15. Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of contrite ones. That's what God is doing. And this is speaking about Jesus, the high and lofty one. Watch this. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Philippians 2:5-11. This is about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but, get this word, made himself of no reputation. He had to make himself do this. Why? Get this picture. He's the Lord of the captain of the host that sent Gabriel to give Mary the message, you're going to get pregnant. I want you to get this picture. Jesus is in heaven. Gabriel, take the message to Mary. Jesus is the commander of the host of heaven. What's Gabriel do? Sir, yes, sir. Off he goes to Mary. And when Gabriel gets back, guess what? Jesus is in the womb.
Wow.
Pastor, do you think that really happened that way? Well, how else did it happen? He was born of a virgin, so he gave the command, and when Gabriel got back, Jesus is in the womb. You want to talk about one protected pregnant lady? It was Mary, because every angel in heaven was watching her. I'm in Philippians 2:8. Being found, now watch this, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, that's serious. That's a serious level of obedience. But see, that's what gives you and I the ability to be obedient, because he gave us his righteousness to function in. If you don't understand that, then you stick with us all week long, because we're going to be studying righteousness all week long. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who Jesus is. But now, I want you to think about this. We're getting ready to see Jesus as a 0 to 2 year old. Now, I don't care how great and lofty your thoughts are, Jesus had to wear a diaper. We're going to see that. Now think about it. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And don't miss the next verse, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, none, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal, the fire, the power of the Lord of hosts will perform this. If I don't have you fired up yet, your fire upper needs to get fixed. Watch this. Isaiah 11:1. That's a good chapter. That's a good verse. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. He's got to grow. Jesus had to grow. I know some of you have Jesus so high and lofty that the moment he came out of Mary, he had a whip in his hand for the Pharisees. But no, he had to grow. Mary had to look at him and say, Jesus, as only a mother can do.
Yeah.
Like she did when he was in Jerusalem and said, did you not know we was looking for you? And he said, did you not know I was going to be about my Father's business?
And
they still said, you're coming home and doing what we say. And it says he went home, was subject to them. We're going to read it right here in just a minute. John 1:14. The Word, Jesus was the Word in heaven, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What am I reading? I'm reading verses that are about Jesus and his place on this earth. Romans 8:3. Watch this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And then we realize Jesus did not sin. He did not sin. Now you're going to, I'm going to read these verses to us through this whole study because it helps you get the understanding. Romans 8:3, that's what that was. Watch this, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this. Today, our lesson is Jesus growing in grace. That's our lesson. You are going to have to grow in grace. Guess what? I have to grow in grace. Even as perfect as Leanne is, she has to grow in grace. You ready? Let's read. Matthew, our first reading is Matthew 2. All right, this is the Kings. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, kings from the east. Hey, Juliana's with us.
Yes.
Welcome, Juliana. Came to Jerusalem, and they said, where is he who's born king of the Jews? All right. And Herod freaked on the spot. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he said, where's my special forces guy that allowed these people to get in here? Modern day version. He gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them, where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Well, Herod's heart is wicked and you know, corrupt. He was going to go kill him. Right? Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. All right? I think we learned that by this time Jesus is back in Nazareth. Is he still in Bethlehem? Anyways, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child. Jesus actually lived in a house, not out under a cactus, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they laid open their treasures, not a box. They laid open their treasuries. And they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember, they think they're coming to a king. Kings don't bring kings little boxes of, you know, perfume. They bring treasures. That's why they brought a whole army with them to protect the treasure for this king. I can hear you. You're trying to start that argument with me, man. Jesus wasn't rich. Yes, he was. 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. When they departed, what's that?
You skipped a bunch of verses, didn't you?
No. Nope. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, myrrh, and divine of a dream, divinely warned of a dream. Now we're in, now we're in 13. Hmm. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee immediately to Egypt. The wise men, the kings, had just brought them enough to flee and be gone longly enough that Jesus would be safe and protected. How cool is that? When he arose, wait, until I bring you word, all right? For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night and departed for Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. He was in Egypt. Verse 16, Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, the kings of the east with an army, was exceedingly angry. And just for the note's sake, he didn't send his army after those guys because he did not want to start a war. Put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Wicked. Slaughter. Genocide. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, Go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Notice that it says those, and that is a plural word, not just Herod. That word has never stood out to me before, but it will be circled. And he came to, verse 23, and he came to Nazareth. He came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 39. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now remember, somewhere between 38 and 39 happened the kings from the east. And then it says in here that he returned to Nazareth in 39. So now in 40, the child is growing. Jesus is a child. He's growing. Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, filled with the grace of God, and the grace of God was upon him. But he's still having to grow. Let's read. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Luke 2:43. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Can you imagine? Joseph, we have lost Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there was any finger pointing or passing of the bucket of blame. Verse 46. Now, so it was after 3 days. He didn't just lose him. 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. I have a question for you. Where did he sleep on those 3 nights? Did he just sleep at the temple? Y'all got bed I could sleep on? Yeah, will you teach us some more tomorrow? Sure. 47. All who heard him. All. These words are not in here by accident. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I anxiously," they were afraid. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor, look at this, with God and man. So you got to realize it's not just handed to him because he's the Christ. He has to be a man and grow and develop like all of us men, or he won't be the faithful high priest that the book of Hebrews talks about. Mm-hmm. But he's got to be the faithful high priest. So he had to go through everything that you and I went through, or he can't be faithful to say he was tempted above all things like us, but without sin. You know what that means? The moment you find Jesus, you can live above sin because you get his nature. I love this. Woo! 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is Christ, he is a new creation except some of you. See, that's not what it says. All things have passed away and all things have become new. So Jesus had to grow and develop just like you. Now, I'm not saying he got any F's on his English or his Hebrew. No. It's just good study. You got to study it. Read what the Bible says and simply believe it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Don't you love this?
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. Now, we've been circling the wagons all night. I think we just started out in a big circle and just had a fireside chat. That's what we did. Let's pray the prayer of salvation because I want to make sure every time we come here, we give you the opportunity to pray the prayer. Some of you turn this off right now. I understand if you're in the middle of something and we're done reading the Bible and you got to go. But it'll do you good to pray this prayer out loud every day. Well, Pastor, how many times do I have to pray it? Once. But the more you pray it, the more it gets placed inside of you. And the next time when somebody's like, I need God, you'll be like, I can lead you in a prayer. And they're like, really? Yeah, just say this after me. And you'll start saying it, and it'll just flow out of you. And you get done, you'll be like, look at that right there. I done learned me something to change somebody's life. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. I don't care who you are, where you come from, or where you're past. You'll be right with God in 2 minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You will give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Now here's your place. Make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands up and just say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
life. With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Some people are like, Pastor, you don't cry. You don't make us cry and be sad and mournful and nobody's beating on our back at the altar saying, give it up. One person says, give it up. The other person says, hold it in. That's Carmen's song. Jesus said to crucify it. That thing there was sin and I was in it. Anyway.
God bless.
What just happened inside of you is you just been connected with what it was God made you when he put you in your mama's womb, because every human's got to come through a womb, but you were known by God in heaven, and he's got a book written with your name on it, and you just got born again into that perfect relationship with Almighty God because you chose to. God now fills you. He came to live on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. He said, I'm going to be to you a God, you'll be to me a people. Then he said, come out from among them and be separate, and I will be your father, and you'll be my children. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 says, any man, no, it doesn't say that there. That's not the right place. What it says is you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Think about it. Jesus, the light of the world, just filled your whole being with himself, and that means you're full of light. I know. Some of you are like, you are right, I'm filled with light. Yeah, you are. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
It is. And you and I have to live every day as a believer and walk with God. Don't worry about trying to figure out what it is to be a Christian. Just wake up in the morning and say, Father, help me walk with you. And he will. You may not understand the Bible. Don't worry about it. Keep reading it. It will come to you. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You're now one of his sheep. And that means the ears of your spirit are now open and you're going to begin to hear him. When you wake up in the morning, look up at the ceiling and say, Father, help me walk with you. When you stop at lunch to eat your lunch break, whenever it is, morning, noon, or night, stop and say, thank you, Jesus, that you're with me every day. I choose to walk with you. Pray over your food every time you eat it. Bless it so that the actual nutritional value gets to you. And when you lay down in your bed at night, before you fall asleep, just make that statement. How did I do today? And then listen. And it won't be long, and you're going to hear his voice speaking, communicating with you on the inside. You may not hear the audible voice of God, but you'll begin to know, wow, God's talking to me. Mm-hmm. And that's how you walk with him every day. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Got to have food and water. You know what the next verse said? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's where he's going to lead you. That power of righteousness will begin to say, don't do that. Don't do that. That's sin. Don't do that. And that's that righteousness on the inside of you that is Jesus saying, don't do that. And you don't have to understand the depth of this. You just got to say, wait, that's righteousness speaking. I will not go against that by any man's statement about something he read in the Bible that doesn't match the truth of God's holy word.
Yeah,
amen. It's the only reason believers sin. If somebody indoctrinated him, it was okay to do it. Because the righteousness of God on the inside of you is going to say, do not do that. And you're going to just don't do it. And the next thing you know, you'd be like, I am living every day without sinning.
And have no desire for it.
People are like, well, Pastor, you could still sin. Well, anybody could still sin. You could. But when you get the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll never trample Jesus underfoot. You'll never consider the blood a common thing, and you won't, what's that verse? Violate the spirit of grace. That's not the word it uses. You will not insult the spirit of grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Make sure you like and subscribe and hit the bell for all of our stuff. This YouTube channel has Read the Word, which is what we're doing right now. It has Establishing Your Faith, which is our evening Bible study program, where we just dig in and study the Bible. Don't miss it. Whether you can be live or not, put it on somewhere where you can get it. It's on a playlist. And then we have Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, which is our morning prayer program, which will be on at 9 o'clock in the morning, praying for America and praying for you and praying for the church. Wow. What a night. Don't you love this? I just love this. And of course, I can stay here and preach a lot longer, but I'm not going to do that. Ready? What do we do now?
Good night, everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'm just all of a sudden like, What do I even do? Till we see you again. This is what we say over you and about you. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
All of our friends on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube, send me an email. Someone, little Sister Lynn, send us an email with your picture so that we can see who you are, hang it on a picture, on a frame, and have a partner board. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Kathy Angaroni's.
Hi, Kathy. Love-